Good afternoon, St. Louis VGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday to you. A few minutes past 1 p.m. I remember when listening to the song and a kid goes, "You know this is about the devil, right?" And my mind was blown. I was just like, no, I think, what? Then you go back and really listen to it.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on a lot of subtleties as a kid. Sure, that'll surprise you. So Andrew is back. It's great to have you back. Welcome back.
Thank you. Isn't it called Sympathy for the Devil?
I didn't know things like that.
It's in the title.
Yeah.
Dave's like, weird title, but whatever.
I think you're wrong.
Sympathy for my bud.
So anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to get off your chest?
Thank you very much to all of you. For everybody has been so nice. All the listeners have been so nice. All the you guys in that room have been so nice. Everybody in there went to the funeral, which was a couple days ago, which was very nice. Found out on Wednesday, my mom had been in the hospital for a little bit and found out that she probably was not going to make it. And then that was expected to kind of drag out for a week or a week and a half or so. They were saying maybe tomorrow, like from today, tomorrow would be the day that she would maybe start to decline. It ended up happening a whole lot faster than that. It was that night, pretty much. She was officially taken off life support. She died at right about noon on Friday.
Organ donor.
Yep. And so the reason that she was kept alive on a ventilator for so long was because she very, very... heroically donated her organs. She was an organ donor. We had all kind of forgotten about that. And these people from a company called Mid-America Transplant, who are absolutely incredible, unbelievable organization. I could not say enough great things about them. They came to the hospital room and they wanted to ask us some questions about apparently a lot of people who sign up, either they back out at the last second or the family backs out at the last second, which I was very surprised to hear.
Me too.
I think there are legitimate, I think a lot of people have like legitimate religious reasons for not wanting to donate. But other than that, I mean, not to be too, you know, not to be too harsh about it, but you're not going to need them. You know what I mean? And there are people who, she had a lot of really strong organs still at the end. It's just that it was all her lungs. Her lungs were just totally broken and ruined and didn't work anymore. But everything else was pretty good, it turns out. Huh. So they were able to take a lot, as I understand. And that was sort of the thing that kept the family going.
Yeah, that's helpful.
It was a very, very bright, positive part. And all the people that we worked with were so positive from that organization. Kara, in particular, from Mid-America Transplant, absolutely. I mean, I don't know what we would have done without her. And the staff at Barnes was unbelievable.
And you did the honor walk?
We did the honor walk where everybody kind of, the staff and even some like, you know, police who were there that day and everything, they came up and they lined the hallways as we walked with her to the operating room. And I've never seen anything like it. It was unbelievable. It was truly moving. I've got I took some pictures and stuff of it because it's like, I can't believe this. I can't believe what I'm seeing.
And now you're kind of in the club and you know just how difficult it is to be the guy there, right? Like I've talked about being the guy at the casket. But you also know how meaningful it is, like when you see people walk in the door.
It was unbelievable. We're a pretty shy family. Everyone but my mom was the least shy person in the world, and that gave the rest of us an excuse to be a little more shy. We didn't really share like funeral details with people very much. We were pretty bad about letting people know. We did take out an obituary in the Telegraph, and you know, the funeral home posted one online, and I was just stunned. There was a line at one point that was like out the door. It was taking people as much as an hour to get through the line from what they were telling us when they got to the front that they've been in line for the past hour plus. But my mom knew a lot of people. She had a lot of friends. She touched a lot of lives. She was very, very active in the community, very, very active in the neighborhood. She was a surrogate mother and grandmother to a lot of people who needed that. And that's what she was best at. And I think she would feel very honored. We had people give donations to this charity that my mother was involved in, the Mustard Seed Peace Project. We ended up raising about $1,200 just off donations from the funeral for that organization, which is very, very kind of everyone who did. A lot of people sent flowers. You guys had some really nice flowers that had a nice little like decoration stuck in them that we were actually. We gave a lot of the flowers. We finally did find a nursing home that was willing to take them. A lot of places were a little, you know, sketchy about it. They don't know where it's from, and they have COVID policies still in place and stuff. But we did manage to find one that was happy to have some of those arrangements, although we did keep the very beautiful decoration that was in the one that the show sent.
Good.
That we liked very much. I think Dad's got a place picked out for that one.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be back. And the people at Barnes, I've never felt in all my time. My wife's got a lot of health problems. My mom had a lot of health problems. Through all of that, I've never felt like we were. I've never felt like the hospital staff was in it with us, like I did when we were at Barnes. I mean, it's like 2 a.m. when they finally had to intubate her and put her into a coma. And you know, my wife, my dad, and I were all just coming and going out of the ICU like, you know, like we own the place. No one stopped us. No one questioned us at any point, even though I think they were probably supposed to by the rules. But and they were all very comforting and just
good.
Everybody was really great. No one made it more difficult. And I think that's why I'm able to be here and talk about this without
good
fully breaking down.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah,
it
as
is.
Good as it can be.
It is.
Why don't we just go ahead and take a break and come back and we'll present the show to you. Wheeler had his first linger today.
Yeah.
I'll tell you all about that.
Stunning.
117 DGS on KMOX. It's going to be kind of a rainy day today. I think tomorrow as well. Speaking of weather, we have the summer forecast at 3:35 with Dave Murray today. Dave never gives teasers, but he said that this one's very weird and unexpected, and he said it has to do with humidity. So I'm hoping it's going to be a low humidity summer as opposed to, oh, God, the humidity is going to be so
because
terrible.
That would be weird for St. Louis.
Right, exactly.
That's what I want. Let's go.
If it's hot and humid, then we
normal.
All expect that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean this in the best sense possible, a Greasy Spoon Diner deep downtown, like 4th and Pine, called Chili Max. And it's one of my faves, and took all the guys there to celebrate Andrew coming back today. Like the 2-egg breakfast is like $5.
Yeah.
Right?
That's great.
It's just great. And Wheeler got his first slinger.
I can't believe I'd never had one before.
So I was
but that was good.
I was thinking about this because that seems like it would be in your wheelhouse.
It is.
But typically a slinger is for somebody who's hammered.
Right.
Yeah.
And you don't get hammered.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I just like lots of food piled on other food.
He didn't touch his potatoes till the very end.
I thought they were onions.
Yeah, why didn't you eat your potatoes?
Onions?
Yeah, well, they're sliced. They look like sliced onions a little bit, and they're covered with chili, so you can barely see them. And I'm like, oh, I don't need onions. That's not good for
you
me.
You don't eat onions.
Not in volume. They do bad things.
Bad for your, they bad do for bad your reflux. Things.
Yeah,
right?
It's bad for my reflux, my guy.
Yeah.
I would like that's to sleep
fair.
Tonight.
That but, is fair.
But it is exactly as you might picture. Dave's like, hey, you got to eat your potatoes there. He goes, oh, potatoes.
I'm like, oh, they're potatoes. And I'm like,
was that like
in.
An extra treat?
When it you, was.
When you, oh.
It was. I was like, oh, good job.
And I think Andrew is getting hit on by our server.
Yeah.
Really?
She called him, what did she call him?
Oddball.
Oddball.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, she nailed
but
that.
Then she would twerk when she said it. So.
Yeah. She did lean in a couple times. She's like, oddball.
She did lean. How, like, can I have context?
Yes, we all had Diet Cokes.
Yes, the context is she was
one.
In love with me.
Yeah.
And so she called him the oddball, but then she really started hamming it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, like, this little exchange where she was like, Diet Coke, right? And he's like, oh, for the love of God, no, regular Coke. And she's like, I know, sweetie.
Rather than playing along and flirting back with her, because she was clearly flirting, he was terrified he might get a Diet Coke.
So,
he was like, please, no, don't do that to
the
me.
The worst part is I thought I was flirting.
I knew what you were doing.
I was like, this is some real smooth.
His best game is to go, no, real Coke.
This is some real smooth operating here.
She called you sweetheart?
No, she called me strange and oddball.
Oh, oddball, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're the little oddball.
She called everybody else sweetheart.
Yeah. But I think she said my oddball, I think, at one point.
Mm-hmm.
My oddball.
It was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think the lady Manny the Grill had eyes for me.
I think so too, man.
Yeah.
She couldn't stay facing the grill. She kept turning around.
She kept burning stuff.
They clearly have, you know, they have their shorthand. They've all worked together forever, and they understand each other. But, like, the lady who was taking our orders would shout to the lady on the grill what the order was, and it just seemed unintelligible to me. Yeah, and then the lady on the grill would be like, what?
Okay.
And she's like, you want me to repeat it? Yeah. So I go ahead and repeat it. And she just even less would repeat. I'm just laughing.
It felt like the Belushi skit.
Yeah.
Cheeseburger.
Like
they're just yelling out stuff, and then everything comes out exactly the way it was asked for.
And then it was perfect.
Yeah. She was just yelling syllables.
Yeah.
And then every now and then you'd hear a hamburger.
So burger.
The lady just ignore her. She's like, need me say that again? I'm like, please say it again.
You mentioned the prices, and the prices were very good, but do you guys have the thing that I have where when I see like they had a double cheeseburger for like $3, right? And in my head, I don't think like that's a great deal. I think it's such a good deal. I should get 5 of them, and then it'll average out to
breakfast price.
I need 5 double cheeseburgers.
I hate to leave you hanging, but no, I don't have that.
I mean, if it's like bars of soap, but it's not. But the food, I'm going to eat more.
It's a real shame
it's
if I only have one breakfast.
Yeah, if I just have one double cheeseburger at this price, I should have 3 or 4.
That's awesome.
I should have known that was bothering you.
Well, because I was going to order a couple, and then I was like, I can't order a couple. These guys will make fun of me.
We would have, yeah.
You definitely would have.
Wrap them in a napkin, take them to go.
We would have.
I know I should know the name of it, but what is the name of there's a Greasy Spoon place right across from the police headquarters?
Oh, I don't know this.
Yeah, the one you do.
White Knight.
White Knight.
We've been there.
Yeah. I've not been there. How is it?
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I drive past it all the time.
You almost feel like a bit of an imposition going in there, though, because it's always very busy, and there's just like one guy who does everything
by
himself.
Well, that's when we went during the snowstorm.
Okay.
He was working there by himself.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it's like that every day.
Okay, good. Good.
He's like, you have to be careful, though. There's like a foot of snow around that place.
Real
always
treacherous
there.
Real
hard to get in the door.
Real easy to fall.
It's always really cold when you go there.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a good blindside top 5. Blindside top 5 of foods you would still eat no matter how rich you were.
Well, pizza.
Good old Hoosier food.
Pizza and burger got to be on there. Chili could be on there, too. People love chili.
I'm thinking about the helper of hamburgers.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had that in a long time.
The beef stroganoff helper of hamburgers. Oh, baby.
All of the above. I have not had a bad hamburger helper.
I'll tell you what, ramen.
And I've had all of them.
Like the cup ramen.
I've been around.
Just like the cheap ramen. Not the good stuff, but the cheap ramen. I
don't mess with the good stuff.
No. To 22-cent pack.
Hot dogs.
Yeah, hot dogs for sure.
Rice-a-roni.
I love
San Francisco treat.
The San Francisco treat, I love it.
I like Uncle Ben's. I like Ben.
Rice-a-roni is the rich man's hamburger helper. I will take my helper any day. Thank you. Thank
That's
you very
you live
much.
In the Central West.
Yeah. I'll take my dehydrated noodles and meat.
Caviar.
I'm sorry.
You ever had caviar?
No. I don't have any interest.
It's quite salty.
Yeah, looks awful.
I was thinking about this is apropos of nothing.
Like, I don't even want it.
I don't want it though.
I don't even want one.
But
of
like,
the
what
most
does it taste like though? If I was gonna get it,
I was thinking about what was the happiest time in my life. You know, you can't use kids; that's too easy. I think the happiest time in my life when I was 12 and I got a mini bike.
Oh.
And my friends had like Yamaha 80s and Honda trail bikes and stuff like that. And I got basically a skateboard with a Briggs & Stratton on it. But I loved it so much. And we would go riding every day. We'd like ride to each other's houses. And it was just, I think it's the happiest I've ever been. And it was during my childhood with a mini bike.
Yeah.
What would be yours? Would it be college?
So we're exempting all family.
Yeah, yeah. Forget about marriages and kids. Yeah.
Freshman year in college, without a doubt.
That's what Phoebe just told me.
Not even
close. She told her mom and I, she's...
Yeah.
It's kind of bittersweet because obviously we weren't there.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh my God, best year of my life. Hands down, nothing comes close.
I mean, I can't even... Like, that... everything was amazing. Like, first of all, just, like, playing baseball at that level was so much cool. I mean, like, I watched more than I did anything. But, I mean, it was, like, just being in that environment.
Yeah.
But, like, the football team at Miami was the best in the country. So, all of that was fun. South Beach was 15 minutes away. I mean, it was just ridiculous. It was like spring break for a year.
We brought this up to Skip Weber the other day, and he goes, oh, man, childhood was great. And then, like, your senior year in high school, but then your freshman year in college is even better. But then, like, being young and single was great. But then marriage's awesome, and then kids and grandkids. My life just keeps getting better. I'm like, shut up. Shut the hell up, Skip Weber. I don't know. The car dealership's probably a really good part of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I had a mini bike. It was gold. And then the... Rach, how about you?
Oh, I don't know. The happiest time in my life. Probably when I was a little kid and I like playing with my brother. Like, I just have such fond memories of being like 7 and he's like 9 and just like playing outside in the dirt. How do you get any better than that, really?
That's pretty good.
That's why you work your whole life to end up with another version of that. When you're retired. Yeah. If you're lucky enough to have a partner, you know, like you had Big Dave when you were a kid and I had my buddies. If you're lucky enough to have a spouse or, you know, whatever your significant other happens to be, who you can play in the dirt with.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's kind of everyone's goal.
I agree.
Aim, how about you? Anything jump out?
Oh, yeah. Like 11, 12, that age group. With my older sister, who's 2 years older than I am, we had 2 younger siblings, and my parents, like for work, had a lot of events at night. So like it'd be Friday night, Saturday night. We would go to like the video store. That's what we called it. I think it just said videos. It was in a strip mall. It just said videos. We'd pick out our movies. Then my parents would go out. We would babysit my little brother and sister. Then we'd put them down for bed. The house would be clean because we'd clean up our mess and everything. And we'd play Monopoly, make popcorn. And remember how like we would make the virgin strawberry daiquiris where it was just like ice and you like these smoothies. And play Monopoly and watch movies. And it felt like we were on top of the world.
Yeah.
Like I remember that feeling so specifically of the younger ones being in bed. Right. Yeah. The work was done.
Right.
Now it's time to play Monopoly and watch movies.
Now it's grown up time.
Popcorn and virgin daiquiris.
Oh, yeah. I remember my mom and dad left me at home alone when I was probably 13. They went to Vegas and I was like George Clooney. Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 134. Andrew received a lot of nice condolences for the passing of his mom. I've been getting a lot of very supportive email about my mom and what she's going through. And Donna sent me a nice one today. So, Donna, thank you very much for that. Very much appreciated. So, Rach, you guys are having a watch party for the finale of Young Sheldon tonight?
Yeah. I've never seen an episode of the show, but it is something that comes up a lot when you're surfing, you know, Hulu and Netflix and all these places. It's like you could always watch Young Sheldon, right? It's always an option. I saw an ad on the TV above your head yesterday, Dave, that said tomorrow is the 2-part series finale of Young Sheldon. So I told my boyfriend.
2-parter.
Yeah, it's a 2-part thing. I'm hoping they're each like an hour long. But I told my boyfriend Kurt about this, and we decided to have a watch party. So super excited to watch the finale of
a
show I've never seen.
Are you inviting people, or is it
you're all welcome
to
come? Okay, if you'd like to all right. Stop by.
I've got a couple other watch parties I promise I'd go to, but
yeah.
So is he adolescent Sheldon now, or what is he?
Oh, he's getting big. He's not young anymore.
Yeah, he's like Ugly Beaver.
Oh,
you know, when Jerry Mathers.
Oh my gosh, that's
started getting
specific.
Acne.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so sad.
You know that story? So when I'd been doing the show about 2 weeks, Dustin Diamond, who played Screech, was going to be on the show. And he shows up in a limo, and his handler, brother-in-law probably, was like, Mr. Diamond will not answer any questions about being on Saved by the Bell.
Well, then what's the point of having you
here? I have no idea what to talk about. So I didn't know anything about anything, so I did the interview and didn't talk to him about it, just talked about his stand-up. It was terrible. Literally the next day, Jerry Mathers the Beaver is on my show in person. And he walks in, shakes my hand. I'm like, Mr. Mathers, would it be okay if we talked about Leave It to Beaver? And Jerry Mathers goes, son, what the F else are we going to talk about?
I love that. It's always good to have the awareness. I guess maybe because at that time, you know, he's older and retired and he's not trying, but you know, Dustin Diamond's like, I gotta keep my career going.
Right. Dustin Diamond, rest in peace. What the hell does he think anybody wants to talk to him about?
Yeah, his stand-up career.
I mean, you're going to spend 10 minutes talking about that and not mention Screech once?
Thought it was a mistake myself.
You got to play into what got you famous, right?
We have Albert Einstein on the show. Don't bring up the new
relativity.
Relativity.
Beaver to say the F word. That was pretty great.
That is pretty amazing. Wouldn't it be great if you could record him like just cursing out his brother, Wally?
He's a normal guy.
Just cursing out Wally.
I was kind of getting stalked by Eddie Munster there for a while.
Like, yeah, Butch Patrick took a shine.
Sure did.
Really?
What?
Yeah, like in a nice way. He wasn't creepy. He just really liked him some Dave. So
oh. Yeah, I mean, you
was
know.
Was he like emailing you and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like what?
He would like reach out.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Hey there, pal.
Remember that time when Herman was my dad?
Did he call you oddball?
No. He wasn't that into me.
Okay.
He wasn't Chili Max into me.
I always remember we had this live copy that didn't get changed for years, and you wanted to make sure that you remembered specifically his actual name, and you didn't just keep calling him Eddie Munster. So this live copy on the back of it in big marker for literally like almost a decade, it just said Butch Patrick in enormous letters. I would see it every day when I was like, you know, going through live copy and getting everything together for your spots and stuff. I'd see Butch Patrick.
I remember that. Let's talk some Cardinals. So they're coming back to Earth 4-3. Is that right? On their
3-4.
3-4. Three and four.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like a big difference, but that's a big difference.
Definitely in vibes. You know, I mean, 3-4 on a road trip is typically not like the end of the world. It's just,
especially if you played someone really, really good.
Yeah, which you did in Milwaukee, right? You played a good team in Milwaukee, but the problem is you're getting later and later, and at some point those have to turn into 4-3s and 5-2s at some point. They just have to. If not, the math is just going to keep working against you. So you're not at the panic point from the math standpoint now, but you are, you know, at a point where 3-4 trip, not that bad, is not really going to be good enough for much longer. Like, they got a 9-game homestand. This is going to be tough. Boston comes in. They've got the best team staff ERA in Major League Baseball. They're only a game over 500. They're not a great offense, but you know they're a challenge. Now, it's interesting because they don't throw a lot of fastballs. Their big story this year is that they throw the fewest fastballs of any pitching staff
in
baseball.
I've noticed that that's a trend.
Yeah, well, the Cardinals don't hit fastballs, but they do hit other things. So maybe it might be an okay matchup. I don't know. We'll see. But then you got the Orioles, who are a juggernaut. They're loaded. Offense, pitching, they literally have it all. And then you got the Cubs, who've played really well. And I don't know how the pitching's going to line up for the Cubs series yet, but they've got a couple of the best pitchers in baseball so far this year. Shota Imanaga has been amazing. I mean, he's pitching like a Cy Young candidate right now. So this is a real test.
Yeah, and they are right now, through 43 games, they are one game better than they were last year.
Which is
why they've got 18 wins. Now they had 17 wins last year.
Right.
So
when does it become any sort of decision time? Like you talked about before the season started, that if this season goes like last season, we'll be sellers at a certain point.
Have to. I don't think you can do the just we're going to keep trying thing.
What sort of appetite do you think the city has for a real rebuild?
We actually talked about that. And we did an informal Twitter poll, which doesn't, you know, it's not scientific, but we had a few hundred respondents to it, and it was pretty overwhelming, at least what they said. We gave three options. Would you still support, meaning buy tickets, watch on TV, listen on KMOX, if they did full rebuild? And it was like 60-something percent said absolutely. There was like 20-something percent that said I would watch a little,
right?
And then less than 10% said definitely not. I don't want that. So I think the city would go for it if they trusted that on the other end of it, they would come out ahead.
If you asked that 5 years ago, the answer probably was like almost absolutely no, right? Because they were in the middle
starting
of contending
to brew back then.
But when you see a bad year last year, and then if this year keeps going this way, people would rather have hope that something will change, as opposed to trying to bet on the same group again. So to me, the first evaluation, like real one, is June 1st. You get past Memorial Day, you're a third of the way into the season. You know, Mike Claiborne loves Flag Day because it's a little bit later on in June. But either way, the one-third point to me is roughly where I'm starting to say, okay, we've got enough. It's either go time now, or when you get to July, you got to trade. So then you've got an extra buffer month there where if you had an amazing June, okay, well, that can change the July plans. But if you get to July and you're still in this kind of a thing, this year I would think that some change would be wise. I mean, just not just change for change's sake, but you'd have to trade pieces you don't want to. I mean, there are already rumors
out
there.
Ken Rosenthal
already had it out there that the Orioles are interested in Ryan Helsley. You know, the Orioles are in all-in mode this year. They're trying to win the World Series, and they have one of the best farm systems in baseball. If they come at you in July and you're bad and they say, hey, you have one of the best closers in baseball. The Cardinals have control of him for multiple years still, but that's why you would get something really good for him, because it wouldn't be a rental. You have to consider it, even though you're looking at one of the best closers in the game.
Yeah, and closers are volatile, too, unless you've got
to get hurt. Yeah.
So that's one you entertain, but I guess my concern is, beyond him, you don't have a lot that really is attractive to other teams.
Well, Romero probably would be right now as
a
lefty.
But I'm talking like, if you were going to do full tear-down rebuild, that means you would ideally move on from Goldschmidt and Arenado and guys like that. They don't have any value right now.
I wouldn't do the full tear-down. The way that I put it is you do, like, remember a few years ago when the Yankees kind of did this? They traded off some pieces and they kind of reset. You know, for the year or two that follows, they got Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman. You know, they did some things that were, I don't think I would go full rebuild.
But that's the question a lot of people have. We had respondents yesterday who said, don't half-ass it. If you're going to do it, do it.
Yeah, see, the problem that...
But they can't, they're not in a position to be able to, because they don't have a bunch of tradable assets beyond the guys you're talking about. And you're not going to trade Tink Hens.
And let me
trade Mason Wynn.
What you do is you take advantage of the market.
Right.
When you're a team like the Cardinals.
That's right.
And you take advantage of teams who are...
Trying to win. Right. Well, here's the problem with the full teardown concept. Two of them. One, fans won't care about except in one way, and the other one is just practical. The Cardinals are a team that relies on attendance revenue to spend what they spend. They don't have the TV deals that Chicago and Boston and New York and LA have. They're very much reliant on attendance for their budget. So if attendance is going to drop, the budget's going to drop. Their payroll is going to come down for a period of time. And they won't get back to this until the attendance gets back to what it's been.
It's tough.
And they don't that's not their choice. I mean, they just don't have the other revenue streams that bigger cities do. So you've got that part of it. And then the second part is you just don't know if you're going to come out of it.
Yeah.
There have been plenty of teams, like the Cubs and Astros did it, where they went rock bottom, they sucked for 3 or 4 years, and then boom, dynasty. There are so many other teams that have done that and never come out of it.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals' current management group has never done the rebuild thing, so they have no experience with it. Now, if that's the case, you might be looking at different people. You might be bringing in different people to do it. But it's still not a good... I mean, it's not a known. I mean, Detroit's been doing this now for a decade. Pittsburgh's been doing it for a long time, although for slightly different reasons. But there are the Angels have been trying forever and just flailing. Once you go low... There's no guarantee it's going to be a 3 or 4 or 5 year deal. It could be a decade before you're good again.
There isn't, but the other side of that is, well, what they're doing now isn't working either.
Which is why I would try the middle ground. Like, I think, Dave, your way of putting it, Dave, is money. Take advantage of whatever you can in the moment, but don't tear down everything just for the sake of tearing it down. Right? If there's a market for, you know, Sonny Gray... You might think about it if it's going to get you a load of players, right? You wouldn't just do it to do it. If there's a market for Kyle Gibson because he's having a good year, you do it because you don't have to keep him for next year. You can replace him.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm one of those impulsive, I want what I want right now kind of people. And so when any sports team that I'm a fan of makes a trade, but it's like for two AA guys, I'm like, well, why do I care? Or if it's hockey and the person's 14 years old, it's like, okay, well, my kids may enjoy that. Do you feel the same way? Is this the kind of thing like we're looking to rebuild for 5 years from now, or we're looking to rebuild for next year?
Yeah, it would be, I think you're lucky if 3 years after you do a teardown, you're competitive again. And then the following year after that, you better be really good. That's what the expectation would be, but that's not a guarantee.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched so many teams try that, and they get to that first time where you're supposed to be pretty good, and then that falls apart, and you got to do it again. Mm. And, you know, that's the
risk.
Do you
think the Cardinals have it in them to do it? Since they've never done it?
I don't think they want to. I mean, Bill DeWitt Jr. has been very clear. They don't want to do that. They never want to do that. And that's partly why I wouldn't start with that. But you do, if this year ends up the same as last year, well, clearly you have to change something, right?
Let me ask you this.
Can't just keep trying to, you know, piece it all together.
Who are your non-stars, non-veteran stars, who you would bet on, who you would keep?
Well, you'd keep all the youngest, inexpensive guys. You would keep Gorman. You would keep Nootbaar. Again, but in that scenario, if you get there, yeah, Mason Wynn's going nowhere. Jordan Walker's going nowhere. You're not moving anybody that young. You're moving players that are getting closer to free agency. And like, just as an example, I wouldn't say that any of those guys I just listed are, quote, untouchable. You would just have to get really good offers for someone like Newt Barr or Gorman because they're inexpensive and controlled for a long period of time. And they're fine. I mean, they're not good now, although Newt's getting better. But they're still guys that, when you look ahead, can be productive players. You know, they're not stars. And what they'll need is younger stars. You know, we're hoping that Wynn is that. You're hoping that Walker's that. But you don't have the yes, like, this is our next homegrown young superstar that's ready to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, you may or may not get that in the trades, but the more you have, the more likely one or two of those guys become that. Okay. Right? You play the odds, kind of like poker.
Good talk, Russ. 153 DGS. Summer forecast coming up with Dave Murray at 3:35. Let's finish this hour out with a little more sports. I have no idea what's going on with LIV versus PGA. I know PGA is coming up this weekend. Is it still a big giant fight? Are there still people who are like, LIV people suck? Or is everyone just taking the money now?
No, it's there's some in between. I mean, there's still some battles back and forth about whether or not the LIV players should be allowed to do certain things that at the moment they're not fully incorporated in. But I don't get the sense that golf fans care that much. I'm not a diehard golf fan, so maybe my read on that is off, but my whole family are golf fans. My dad watches golf nonstop and plays. My brother-in-law, I don't hear anybody talking about it.
Oh, I don't either. But I'm also not a golf person at all. My interest in golf dies with Tiger. He's really the only golfer I've ever had any interest in whatsoever.
Well, the LIV Tour has changed things because did you see the Forbes list of the 50 highest paid athletes?
Oh, they're all LIV golfers.
Well, Ronaldo's number one. Number two, John Rahm.
Yeah.
Because of the Saudi money, and the same with Ronaldo. That's
I don't know who John Rahm is.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the top guys on the tour before he left for LIV. But, I mean, yeah. Yeah, he's not at that name recognition level of all, when you're comparing to all sports. Everybody that follows golf knows John Rahm.
What if it's doing what Saudi Arabia thinks it's doing or what they planned on it doing?
My understanding from just listening to people, especially about the LIV Tour, is it's not even about right now.
Mm-mm.
It's about 50 years from now and 100 years from now. Like, they're playing this super long game. They want the image in the world to change as time goes past. And of course, they don't want to actually change in Saudi Arabia. They just want people to stop talking about how they murder their own citizens and how they repress women's rights and all those kind of things.
This is like 2%. The sports is like 2% of their budget. They are literally building cities out of nothing in the desert that it's like Las Vegas and Dubai, just all out of nowhere in the middle of the desert.
That's why I forgot the expert we talked to about a year ago who said it's some of it is sports washing, the PR of it, but also it's they're trying to diversify what their revenue is because they are looking down the road at when oil is not as important to the economy as it is now.
Right.
So if they develop this whole sports ecosystem, that it'll play out well for them.
What's that big city that's being built? That's like the wall.
They're having trouble with that. Yeah. I believe. I know what you're talking about.
I wonder why, because it's the middle of the desert.
Yeah.